You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
To understand the distinction. Pre-wire.
So just before we had Southern Cross with Stephanie Tapungu and with Kendall Hart talking about the problem of violence against women in Papua New Guinea. Up next we have Sam's report. So producer Sam talked to Auckland University musicologist Kirsten Zemke about the upcoming National Party Eminem copyright case.
Yes, indeed. So last week the outcome of the long-running Eminem versus the National Party copyright case was announced, with the judge awarding the American rapper's publishing company $600,000 after ruling that the political party violated the rapper's copyright for his hit song Lose Yourself. The track in question was called Eminem-esque, which was purchased by the party from music production company Beatbox for their 2014 election campaign ad. The judge ruled the song was significantly similar to Lose Yourself, enough to see National penalised. Well, earlier I spoke to Auckland University musicologist Kirsten Zemke, who gave evidence on behalf of National in the case about the outcome and what this means for music copyright. What do you make of the outcome of this case? Do you think it was the right decision?
Well, I'm disappointed because I was on the other side.
Yeah.
And so I feel like, you know, did I argue strong enough? Did I make my points clear enough? But on the other hand, I mean, that's why we argue these things in cases. And the music industry and musicians and musicologists and the law are all working these things out. And if the law is going to start to argue a certain way about what is and what isn't copying, then I, as a musicologist, need to observe that trend and monitor it, you know. So I also feel like perhaps the amount is so much lower than it could have been. I know people are acting like $600,000 is a lot of money. It is not. You know, let's face it, it's barely a two-bedroom place in Avondale. You know, during the case, you know, Eminem's side talked about that if they had, you know, legitimately given the song to a large company like a Toyota or a Coca-Cola, they would have charged in the tens of millions. Because this is not just one of Eminem's songs. It's his premier song. So, you know, if they were going to carefully craft how they utilize the song, you know, in advertising, they would have charged, you know, so much more. So the fact that $600,000 is actually, in the grand scheme of things, a small amount, and that was calculated looking at how long it was played on television, which was 14 days, what times of day it was played, you know, how many people would have heard it, and that sort of thing. So, you know, they got off rather lightly as far as how things could have gone. So, yeah. You know, the judge was definitely, you know, attempting to be as fair as possible under the finding that it was a copy. But I'm disappointed because I felt musically, as far as how musicians create music, that it's not something that beat makers and musicians would consider a copy.
Right. Now, you gave evidence in this case. What was that like?
Very scary, and like I said, I don't feel I was strong enough, and very new experience for me, being in the legal system is a completely different culture I'd never been exposed to, and yeah, it was a terrifying experience. I can only imagine if you're actually in a seriously vulnerable position with some sort of actual criminal activity, how terrifying it must be for anyone. I wanted to stand up and go, I did it, I killed him, because it was so, you know, difficult and pressing. But I think someone had told me that they're only allowed one expert on each side, you know, so that things don't get crazy with calling many experts. Because I feel, as a musicologist, I would have rather seen like a panel of 8 or 10 of us, you know, kind of duke it out, talk to musicians, talk to people who make music for ads, you know, there's what they're called as, you know, sort of sound-alikes, people who create those sort of beats to sell to smaller production companies and documentaries and schools, you know? And so I would have liked to talk to a whole bunch of people in the industry instead of having it just be like my opinion. I would have rather seen more of a communal discussion within the music community. So, yeah, I was sort of felt uncomfortable being there as one person because, again, as a musicologist, I usually feel my job is more to observe the community rather to sort of mandate and get in there, that it's really up to musicians and the lawyers, you know, to be fair to everyone, to decide what's a copy and what's not a copy. Because to me, calling it a copy means that that now Eminem owns open fifths and sixths in G minor and D minor, which I just don't think musically is possible.
Because the High Court deemed that the Eminesque song was significantly similar to Lose Yourself. How can you define when a track sounds significantly similar? That sounds quite difficult.
Well, that's right. That's right. And so previously in music, because it's so difficult, we've broken it down to, okay, a sample is a sample, right? So that's fine. Take that out of the equation. Music has tended to turn to more just say it's the melody that's the important part. Beats, bass lines, backing chords, everybody uses those. There's only a limited amount. And also especially stuff within a genre, like, say, for, you know, reggae or certain EDM genres, you know, you want the beat to be the same, otherwise it's no longer that genre. You know, you want certain types of bass lines or it's no longer that type of metal anymore. So that it's been, if the melody and the lyrics are different, it's a different song, and sometimes the backing elements are kind of similar, but it doesn't matter. That's not the song. So, for instance, I talked about if anyone performs, say, a Motown song, the money goes to the person who wrote the melody and the lyrics, not to the great Motown players that play those bass lines and guitar chords and brass lines, because the composition is considered to be the melody. Now, music has changed a lot over the last decades, and you know, and maybe we do want to start to consider the beats and the sort of music beds, and so, you know, back to your point of what is similarity. So it's having, or is these music beds going to now be considered similarity rather than just the melody? And that's fine. We just, now musicians need to respond to that and say, how can I create something when now even the every element of my piece is completely unique?
Because it seems we're at a stage in music where everything has been taken or borrowed from somewhere else. You could argue that nothing's really original anymore.
Absolutely, and I had to argue that in the case. That wasn't a direction I had originally gone, but I had to then argue that Lose Yourself as a song was derivative of anything else, and I found many preceding songs. Apparently, when it came out, the first time people thought it was a sample or a copy of Kashmir by Led Zeppelin. There's certain elements of that.
Right.
And I found other songs that use that open fifth and open sixth type of line, including a split-end song and Total Control by The Motel. So I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to say, oh, Eminem's a big copycat. It wasn't comfortable for me.
Like,
but to show that, yeah, his style itself, there's other rappers that he obviously grew up with and, you know, has emulated in his own way. So, yeah, that was tough. And like you said, the notion of copying is really, it's, you know, hard to pinpoint.
Like all the, through the years, so many guitar blues licks have been passed down, but no one's going to start suing people for recording those over and over again.
Absolutely, and the whole 12-bar blues, is nobody allowed to do that 12-bar, you know, thing anymore. And absolutely, I mean, you look at the whole history of rock and roll, the Beatles and the Rolling Stones copied, especially black artists, you know, all the time is whose work often got lost. So I think it's going to be really hard for the music industry to respond. Now, the metaphor that the other side used, and I think is what sort of the case went on, is that the song is composed of a number of elements similar to a face, eyes, ears, nose, and mouth, and even those elements separately might be different, but when you put them all together and the face looks the same. And so that's what they went by, rather than my argument that it's really the melodic elements, you know, not the beat, the bass line, the tempo, you know, because they said, oh, the tempo's the same, and I was trying to explain that that doesn't mean anything. Ask any DJ, you know, the BPMs are the same in a lot of songs. You know?
So just finally then, where does this leave music copyright? Are we going to see people suing left, right, and center now?
Well, I think one of the distinctive features of this case is that it wasn't an artist independently or accidentally creating a copy song. This was someone intentionally, right? Because there's a business of people who create sound-alikes for more humbler, you know, whether it's films or YouTubes or smaller businesses. And they do create songs that sound relatively similar to something. So if you want something that's Katy Perry-ish.
Katy Perry-esque.
Or, yeah, that's right, or Disney-ish. Some people felt that was, you know, evidence that they copied. Said, they wouldn't have done that if they were trying to hide it. It's evidence that if you were looking for something sort of like this, you know, we don't all have the musical language to explain what we wanted. They'll go through their track list of thousands of songs and look for songs that sound sort of Eminem-ish. But so, yeah, definitely that business is under threat. I still think, you know, if there's, you know, artists who in good faith have created something. But I think, you know, this artist, in good or bad faith, attempted to copy the song and make an inferior copy on purpose for people with less money to utilize. But, and other people have made really solid arguments as to why didn't they get New Zealand artists or why didn't they use New Zealand song. And that's all totally legit arguments, you know.
All right. Well, thanks very much for your time, Kirsten.
Okay. I hope I haven't said anything illegal.
The Wire.
That's funny. What does it sound like?
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.